This is The Takeaway. I'm Arun Venugopal. On this show, we've continued to cover allegations of physical and sexual abuse in federal immigration detention facilities. These facilities, run by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE, have continually fallen under scrutiny for their secretive practices. But last month, the federal government moved forward with a plan, alarming journalists, migrant rights groups, and transparency advocates. The National Archives, the federal body in charge of preserving government records, agreed to let ICE officials delete or destroy records related to migrant deaths and abuse in their custody. This agreement has been in the works since 2017. But despite the widespread backlash to this plan, both from the public and lawmakers, they moved forward with the plan last month. Joining me now is Matthew Connolly, professor of history at Columbia University and the author of a recent op-ed in the New York Times, Why You May Never Learn the Truth About ICE. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
To begin, can you explain how the National Archives decides what records to keep?
Well, the National Archives has a difficult job in that they have to make predictions about what people are going to be interested in, not just now, but 50, 100 years from now. So they work with people in different departments and agencies, and they come up with what they call records retention schedules. And that's where they identify which are the records that they think historians, journalists, and others are going to be interested in down the road. And sometimes they decide in other cases, in most cases actually, that they're going to delete or destroy records. And they might do that within 3 years, 5, 10, sometimes 75 years.
So it's subjective.
It is to some extent subjective, but they've been doing this for a long time. The National Archives has been around, you know, since 1932. And so they've developed certain principles about what it is that they think is going to be historically significant.
In your New York Times op-ed, you focused on a certain body of information related to ICE records that is now likely to be destroyed. What can you tell us about these records and what they contain?
Yeah, so for example, I mean, there are many different examples you could give, but it includes the office within ICE that's responsible for receiving civil rights complaints. And that includes complaints about poor medical care. And as a lot of us know, this has been one of the most controversial issues that's accompanied the whole border crisis is the fact that many, many detainees have been denied decent medical care, leading to, in many cases, you know, illness or worse, leading to death. And these records surprised me, but in many cases, these were the kinds of records that they decided could be deleted, you know, not just 50 or 100 years from now. They decided these were records that could be deleted within 3 years.
Which begs the question, how independent is the National Archives, or rather, how likely are they to be under political pressure?
Well, I think the people at the National Archives would like to do the right thing. I mean, these are professionals. They've been doing this kind of work for many decades now. But the fact is, especially since, you know, the beginning of the Trump administration, they are under severe pressure. It's hard to know if they're getting political pressure or what kinds of pressure. There's a controversial case recently where the Archivist of the United States decided to doctor a photo because that photo showed protest posters ridiculing Donald Trump. But I think even more important, what's really driving a lot of this is the fact that the National Archives has been starved of resources.
And so how does that, I guess, translate to what's happening right now here?
So just to give you an example, the National Archives is managing three times as many paper records as it was back in 1985, and it has a smaller workforce now than it did then. It has the same budget that it had back in 2008. That budget has been cut every year for the last 3 years. And when you think about it, the National Archives, you know, their job grows every year. It's relentless because, especially with the coming of electronic records and social media and so on, the amount of information they have to manage has been growing exponentially, and they're having to do with fewer and fewer resources.
So you wrote about this in the New York Times, specifically calling on these documents to be protected. And after being more or less stonewalled, you actually received a response, or rather the Times received a response from the chief archivist of the United States. What did this this response say?
Well, David Ferriero, the archivist of the United States, said that what I had done was to paint a wholly misleading picture of what was happening at the National Archives. And in the even longer version that he published in the National Archives newsletter, he had more than 1,000 words of everything that was wrong with what I wrote. But I went through it one by one. And actually, what I was able to show was it's even worse than we thought. There were things in his denial that actually made news. For instance, for the first time, he admitted, you know, that the State Department was now using machine learning algorithms to identify automatically what records are going to be deleted or destroyed. This is completely unprecedented.
Why does it matter that it's an algorithm? What is it looking for to destroy?
Yeah, so it's not impossible that you could develop algorithms that would do this kind of work. In a way, it would be the same way that Netflix or Amazon uses algorithms to try to predict what movie you'd like to watch, what product you might want to buy. But, you know, Amazon has really good data scientists. And in fact, when they get it wrong, you know, the worst thing that could happen is they suggest some product that you don't want. So in this case, you know, the government, in this case, the State Department, is trying to use data science techniques in a way that has not publicly been discussed. There's no discussion or reporting on what the performance is of these algorithms. And the consequences when it gets things wrong is that it potentially, at least, millions of records are going to be automatically deleted, and then we're never going to hear anything more about it.
Now, tens of thousands of people commented about ICE deleting these records, and yet it's still moving forward. Is there any way in which this sort of action can be stopped?
I hope so. In this case, you know, for example, David Ferriero, the archivist of the United States, said that they had made a concession after getting this unprecedented opposition. They decided that instead of deleting the records having to do with the sexual assault of detainees, including thousands of minors, that they were going to preserve those records for 25 years instead of 20 years. So I'm a little bit worried that even after getting unprecedented opposition, including a lot of opposition in Congress, they make such a minor concession and call it a win. But what I'd like to see, what I'm hope more we'll see more of going forward, is that more people are going to begin to speak up, including more congressmen and senators, that we might finally have a hearing where the National Archives is asked to account for these kinds of choices. David Ferriero, the archivist of the United States, hasn't been on Capitol Hill for 5 years. The last time he was invited to appear and answer questions, it was about why it is the National Archives is the worst place, one of the worst places to work in the federal government.
Matthew Connolly is a professor of history at Columbia University. Matthew, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.